Luke chapter 18. We're going to continue on with our topic of prayer. Prayer is important. God operates through prayer. We're to operate through prayer. We're to do it. Prayer is important. God says it's important, but many Christians don't see it as important. They see it as a last measure to do, but prayer is important, and the Bible gives us some guidelines, some directions on prayer. Here, we're going to look at a parable here, talking about prayer with two men in Luke chapter 18, the Pharisee and the publican. Familiar part of Scripture, but over in Luke chapter 18, I'll read verse 9 through 14 here on the Pharisee and the publican. It says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Right there in verse 13, God be merciful to me, a sinner. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, we are thankful to meet here tonight, thankful for your word, thankful for your truth and your word. And Lord, I just pray you'll be with me now as I present your word and your truth here tonight. Lord, fill me with your spirit. Give me your power. Give me your words. And I pray, Lord, just speak to the hearts of those here today, the hearts over the internet, Lord. And maybe there is somebody out there today that needs to cry that cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and repent and turn to you for salvation. Maybe there is, Lord. But everything we do here tonight, we just want to give you the honor and glory for it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what is prayer? Right? We talk about prayer. When do we pray? Where do we pray? How do we pray? You know, many Christians do not fully understand the significance of prayer, the importance of prayer, but prayer is simply to intercede with and to communicate with God. Prayer is to pour yourself out to God. It's basically just having a relationship with God. It's talking with God. I remember when I first got saved and got into the Independent Baptist Church, you know, and there would be a Wednesday service, a prayer service, or even on a Sunday service, if the pastor was going to call on somebody to pray, I'd be like, oh, is he going to call on me to pray? You know, and I get so nervous. Oh, is he going to call on me to pray? What am I going to say? How am I going to do it? I don't know what to do. You know, but can I just tell you, hey, the more you do it, the easier it is, right? The more you do it, the more natural it becomes. It's just talking with the Lord. It's just having a conversation with the Lord. You know, if you've seen them, I'm not promoting movies, but if you've seen the movie Sheffy, right? Sheffy, the people would talk to Sheffy and be like, it seems like you're just talking to the Lord like he's right here. Yeah, that's what prayer is, talking to the Lord like he's just right here. You are having a communication with the Lord. Now, as we continue on with this topic of prayer, we need to remember there's two kinds of prayers. Remember, there's the effective prayer and there's the ineffective prayer. And this parable here of the Pharisee and the publican give us a great example of those. Right? We see that here. One of them prayed an effective prayer and one of them prayed an ineffective prayer. The Pharisee is the one that prayed an ineffective prayer. The publican prayed a prayer that was effective. And we'll see why here in just a minute. But remember James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's that righteous man that gets his prayers answered. It's that righteous man that God hears his prayer first. But it's that righteous man that gets his prayer answered. And that we need to remember that. We need to remember the righteous man is the one that has his prayer answered. The righteous man has the fruit of the prayer. And an effective prayer life takes place when we are righteous, when we are living right with God, when we are walking with the Lord, when we are communing with the Lord, when we're not looking back, right? Not looking to the sides, not looking back. We're looking straight ahead, keeping our eyes on the Lord Jesus, not falling into those temptations from the devil, not giving into those sins, right? As a righteous man, I cannot be walking in sin. I cannot be walking contrary to the Bible. I cannot have unconfessed sin in my heart. Remember Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So if I'm having unconfessed sin in my heart, my prayers aren't leaving the room. They're not going up to Him. And here's another one. I didn't thought this one up, but John 9:31. John 9:31 says, now we know that God heareth not sinners. How much blunt can we get? Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, him He heareth. And what is His will? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's His will. That you'll walk with Him. That you'll walk in holiness. That you're close to Him. Because if not, He's not going to hear those prayers. He's not going to hear the prayer of the unrighteous. He's not going to hear the prayer of the sinner. In Proverbs 28:9, he says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. This is serious stuff, guys. This is serious. Right? If we're going to start picking and choosing, oh, I'm not going to do that. I know it's in God's Word. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do this and this, and I like this and that, but I don't like this. He says that our prayers are going to be abomination to Him. We start turning our ear from hearing the law, from hearing the truths of His Word. We've got to be careful. We need to have that walk with the Lord and be in close communion with Him always. And remember to watch and pray. It goes together. We're watching and praying at the same time. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. That means pray all the time. Not allowing that sin to come in. Watching and praying. Being on guard. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So let's use this text here this evening as an example for us to see the difference here of an effective prayer and an ineffective prayer. Number one, I want you to see here that the Pharisee's prayer was an ineffective prayer. Look at verse 10. There in Luke 18:10, it says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. We have two men. They're in the temple, they're praying. One was a Pharisee, which means he was a religious man. He was one of those guys that he's going through the rituals, he's going through the routines of religion, okay, but nothing else. Right? Then we have the publican. The publican was a tax collector. He was known as the chief of all sinners. Right? He was the chief of all sinners. He was a great sinner. So they would go around and collect the taxes, and then he would collect more to put in his pocket. And so they were widely known as the big sinner, the greatest of all sinners. And throughout Jesus' ministry here on earth, he would often expose the Pharisees. He would call them out. He wouldn't sugarcoat it. He would call them out for their self-righteousness. He would call them out for their unbelief and their hypocrisy. He would call them out. In Matthew 23:27, he says, woe unto you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Hypocrites. He's calling them hypocrites. He said, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness. This is serious. This is serious. Jesus is saying, hey, they look good on the outside. On the outside, they look great. But on the inside, they are full of dead man's bones. And that's how the Pharisees were. They were more concerned with how they looked. Hey, I'm more concerned with looking the part, not acting the part. I'm more concerned with you all thinking that I'm so righteous, but I'm not righteous at all. Danger. Can I tell you there's a danger? There's a danger, all right? It's good, men, to come to church in our ties and our suits and my nice shoes. But I haven't been in prayer all week. I haven't been reading my Bible all week. Oh, but I look good, right? I look good. Women, hey, the same thing. It's good to come to church in your dresses, your skirts, below the knees, looking modest. Modestly dressed ladies. Amen. But you haven't read your Bible. You haven't been in prayer all week, right? But we look in the park and we carry our King James Bible and we're like, look at me. I'm pretty righteous, right? Oh God, look at me, right? There's a danger there. We got to be careful.
What is the heart? Jesus sees through the heart,
right? Jesus sees the heart. Jeremiah 17:9, he says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who could know it? Not living right with the Lord. Not doing the things of the Lord. Not walking in holiness. Only looking for that outward appearance.
And that's the same thing that this old world tells you to follow, right? Follow your heart. Trust your heart. Now, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Look at here back in Luke 18 at verse 11. Verse 11 there. It says, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. You see, this prayer did not honor God. This prayer did not praise God. It did not honor God. It only honored himself. It only honored the Pharisee. Hey, look at me, everybody. I am so righteous. It only lifted himself up. This is not the kind of prayer that the Bible teaches. This is not the kind of prayer we've been looking at the last three Wednesdays. This is not the prayer that Jesus taught. No, he said he prayed thus with himself. His prayer didn't leave the room. He boasts of himself. He's full of pride. He's full of that self-righteousness. And we know pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride, pride, pride is what this man does. Is what this man exemplifies. Oh, he used the word God. He called God. He addressed his prayer to God, but his words were not going up to God. His words were not being heard by God. His prayer was not being heard. He was speaking, but he was only speaking to himself. Himself here. What a waste of time. Why do all that? It's a waste of time. It's a waste of time because he wanted to look good. He wanted everybody to look at him and say, ah, he is so righteous. Outwardly, he appeared righteous, but God did not hear his prayer. And that's the danger for us. It's easy to fall into that same trap and look the part, but not be living righteous. Right? This man was self-centered. He did everything to be seen. He did everything to be heard. Remember, we talked about that last week in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. It says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. And remember, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. That's their reward. They want the righteousness of man. God's not going to honor that. They have their reward. The Bible says there that they stood and prayed, adding to the self-righteousness, that's their reward. They wanted to look the part, but not live the part. God, I thank thee that I am not like those sinners. God, I thank thee that I'm not like those other horrible sinners. Right? The Pharisee prayed to show off before men, not to pour himself out to God. D.L. Moody said this. He said, I can always tell when a man is a long way from God, for he is always talking about himself. He's always talking about himself, and I'm sure we've all met people like that. That's all they do is talk about themselves. Self-righteous people, but you see, when we stand before a holy, righteous God, we won't be able to talk about ourselves. There will be no righteousness that we will be able to display. The Bible says in Isaiah 64:6 that all my righteousness is as filthy rags. Everything I think is good about me, God says it is as filthy rags. The Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And in order for you and I to get to heaven, we must have His righteousness. Our righteousness isn't going to take us to heaven. We must have His righteousness. In Romans 3:22, it says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. That's salvation. Getting His righteousness,
by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the fact that He died on the cross, was buried, rose again the third day, and when you believe on Him, like our verses say, you're born again, you have everlasting life, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He saves you, He washes you of all your sins, and He gives you His righteousness. So then when God looks upon us as saved people, born again, He doesn't see your filthy rags. What He sees is that the blood of Jesus Christ has covered you from all your sin. And that's the glorious promise that we have. That's our hope. That's our joy. That's our peace. I mean, it goes on and on. That's why we can get up in the morning and face this dark and sickened world, because we know that one day we're going to leave this world and our eyes are going to close here and they're going to open and we're going to see Jesus. And that's the glorious hope of why we're doing this. We're not doing this for show. We're not doing this to get a crowd. We could get a crowd. There's things we can do to get a crowd, but we're not about a crowd. We're about doing what God says. We're about doing it His way. And He gives us an example here on prayer, and we need to take heed to it because it is very, very serious here. Matthew 5:6 says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after His righteousness, for they shall be filled." Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Do you hunger for His righteousness? Or do you hunger for the world's righteousness? Or for your own righteousness? What do you hunger for? You say, you can learn a lot about a person by what comes out of their mouth. This Pharisee stood and prayed, and you could listen and you could hear a lot and tell a lot about what this man is like. It's no different today. You can tell a lot about people by just talking with them. The Bible says in Matthew 12:34, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Hey, what's inside here is going to come out. Hey, I go and I talk to people and I knock on their door, or I'm out and I talk to somebody and I say, "Hey, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Hey, do you know if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven?" Whatever the question is, why would God let you into heaven? If you died and stood before God, why would He let you into heaven? You ask those questions and you'll be amazed at what you'll get back. The people will just start speaking. And they say, "Oh, you know, preacher, I'm a good person. I've been a member of that church for 40 years. Oh, whenever I was young, I was baptized. I had this accident one time, and I should have died. But the lights came on, and I just knew I was going to heaven after that." But you know what's glorious is whenever you ask that question, and they say, "Yeah, I know I'm going to heaven because Jesus is my Lord and Savior." Amen, right? Amen. But you can tell a lot about people by what comes out of their mouth. And this Pharisee had nothing but scorn. Scorn for these people. Scorn means to hold in extreme contempt, to despise, to condemn, to disdain. He puts everyone else down around him to lift himself up. Look at verse 11 there again. It says, "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican.'" Right, this Pharisee here thanked God for keeping him from sin. He thanked God that God's hand was upon him in his life, but He wasn't upon anybody else's life. God only protected him, and God's hand was only upon his life. He looked at God as God favored him, like he was above everybody else. God had lifted him up, and that's not the case. He thought of himself as everything, but everyone else was worthless. Everyone else was worthless. You know, people still do the same today, don't they? They still do the same thing today. They'll do whatever they can to put somebody down to lift themselves up. They'll put people down to lift themselves up to make them feel better. That's the world that we live in. We live in an evil society that's filled with hate, that's filled with violence. I mean, all you got to do is look at our nation. Look at what's going on in our country today. It is unbelievable. Never in my life would I have thought we would come to this point in our nation. I mean, we have, for years, young people that's been exposed to violence, to hatred on the movies, under the TV, under the video games. Rock music, country music, you name it, music, and now we pay the price. Now we are paying the price from all of that junk, right? We have kids, young people, who think it's amusing to go by somebody's house and just start shooting it up and killing people. And we have kids who think it's okay to go to school and shoot people up. What is this world coming to besides the end, right? We have kids who think it's fun to drop concrete blocks on cars from a bridge as they drive by. We have people's, young people's minds, even older people's minds, that have been so warped and destroyed by the devil, by social media, and by video games that they think they can just go and shoot anybody they want. Shoot them up, shoot up the next president, it doesn't matter. Listen, nobody's safe in this country. Nobody is safe. Sin has warped the minds of so many in our society, and it has produced the most wicked people we could imagine. And here's another thing for you. In all of human existence, over 6,000 years, man has never had an issue with two genders. Man has always known there's two genders, a male and a female. Just look around. Never had any issues, but now here we are. Man has become so smart that we think that there's some 100 and some genders out there. God makes it very clear there's two genders. In Genesis chapter 1, He created male and He created female. And they have different purposes. He created them for different reasons. But there's only two, folks. There is only two. Romans 1:22. Here we go. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They became fools. Right? They think they're so wise. People think they're so smart today. But they are actually just fools. Right? Scorn. Scorn for anybody who believes different than they do. And this scorn has rubbed off in our country, in our churches, and into Christians. Listen, if we're going to pray effective prayers, we got to get all that junk out. We got to not let that in. We got to keep our hearts guarded. We got to watch. Remember to watch and to pray. This Pharisee was one of them. He had nothing but scorn for the Pharisee. He says, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. And he says in verse 12, he says, I fast twice in the week and give tithes of all that I possess. He wasn't required to fast twice in the week. He's going above and beyond. He wasn't required to tithe on all that he possessed, but he did. He tithed 10% of his income plus 10% of all that he possessed. He thought that he was right with God by what he did do and by what he didn't do for him to earn his righteousness. And that's not what the Bible teaches. We need His righteousness. And listen, he wasn't right with God. He wasn't right with man. And we learned last week that in order to be right with God, you've got to be right with man. Matthew 6:12 says, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. What he should have been saying was, oh God, forgive me. Oh God, have mercy upon me. Remember David in Psalm 51? Oh God, have mercy upon me, right? But no, that's not what he did. It's not what he did. He was good. He was good, and he wanted people to see how good he was, and he really lived a lie. He lived a deceived lie. God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. I fast twice in the week and I give tithes of all that I possess. Hey, we can always find somebody to compare ourselves to make us look better, can't we? There's always somebody we can look around and I mean, I did it. Before I was saved, and we were in the Baptist church for 5 years before I got saved. And I'd look around and be like, I must be okay. I must be good. They said they're a Christian and they're doing the same things I'm doing. So I must be good, right? God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are. He doesn't go about praying for those other people. He doesn't care about those other people. He doesn't pray for lost family members. He doesn't care about those lost family members. He doesn't pray for a revival because he doesn't want God to change his heart. He is content and happy right where he is. He is good. How many people do you know like that? I'm good. I know people like that. You know, you talk to them about salvation. I'm good. My life is good. I have a good job. I make a good amount of money. You know, I'm happy with what I do, where I live, and where I'm at. You know, I don't need all that. I'm just good.
That's the lie of the devil.
Nobody is good. There is none good. No, not one. This man here, he has no repentance.
Not one time does he say, Lord, I am so thankful. Right? Remember, we're to pray and be thankful. Right? He doesn't pray for any of that. He doesn't thank the Lord for His goodness. Right? We should be thanking the Lord for His goodness. He doesn't thank the Lord for His mercy, for His love. He doesn't thank the Lord for salvation, for any of that. He thanks God for just keeping Him good, basically. But in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's the will of God. To give thanks in everything. We need to constantly be giving thanks because we don't deserve anything. We do not deserve anything. Everything that we get or have is only because He's allowed it. His grace is sufficient for me, right? And this prayer was not going to get answered. God was not going to answer this prayer because this man was full of pride. Full of pride. And he thinks that he was able to fool man, which he did, but he also thought he was able to fool God. And that's not the case. He can't fool God. You and I cannot fool God. God sees right to the heart of the matter. He knows us more than we know ourselves. A lot of times, it's easy for us to look around and compare ourselves, right? But a lot of times it's easy for us to look around and say, you need to do this. You need to do this. You need to do that. I know every sin you're in. You need to get right. You need to do this, right? It's easy to know everybody else's business and sin and what they need to do to get right, but we don't look at ourselves, right? Turn over with me to Matthew 7. I'll show you this here. We'll move on. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 3. Matthew chapter 7, verse 3 says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Hey, listen. We need to get ourselves right. We need to go to the Lord and confess our sin,
not try to tell everybody else what their sin is and get right with their sin. This man's prayer here, this publican, was an ineffective prayer. But lastly, we're going to see that the publican's prayer was an effective prayer. The Pharisee's prayer was an ineffective prayer. The publican's prayer is an effective prayer. Look there back in Luke chapter 18 and verse 13. The publican, remember, this is the greatest of sinners, the tax collector. It says, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Hey, listen, this publican, he stood the same way that the Pharisee stood. He stood up. He stood up to pray, but God heard his prayer. God heard his prayer. And I'm not talking about position in prayer, posture in prayer. Usually doesn't have anything to do with whether or not a person, if God's going to hear your prayer. And what I mean is, a person can kneel and not pray. A person can bow their head and not pray. A person can fold their hands and not pray. A person can move your lips and not pray. Hey, we can pray for a long time and not pray. Or we can pray for a short time and not pray at all. Remember, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This sinner stood afar off. He stood afar off. Why? Why did he stand afar off? He was ashamed. He was embarrassed of his sin. He felt separated from God. He felt separated from man. And he was beaten down by his sin. Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. He thought of himself as unworthy, that sin had separated him from God. And he was unworthy to even lift his eyes up to heaven. And he wouldn't do it.
He would not lift his eyes up to heaven, but what he did was he lifted his heart. He lifted his heart up to heaven, and because of his guilt and his sin, he knew he was condemned. He knew he was a horrible sinner, but all he could do was just beat upon his breast. All he could do was just beat upon his breast. He couldn't help it because he knew that his sin, he was beaten by his sin. He had that guilt. He pleaded and he begged for God to forgive him. He says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What a difference, right? What a difference in the two prayers. Humble, pride. Humble, pride. The Bible is very clear here that this publican prayed an effective prayer. And that Pharisee, he prayed an ineffective prayer. Look there at verse 14. Verse 14 says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. That word justified, it means just as if I'd never sinned. I've been forgiven of my sins. I've been justified. He's wiped them away. Justified, never sinned. Justified rather than the other, that Pharisee, rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And it's that pride thing again. That pride, it always gets people. That pride. That Pharisee was full of pride, and this publican, who was the chief of all sinners, he was full of humility. Before a holy, righteous God, he was full of humility. And he knew there was, like David, he knew there was only one thing to do. Cast himself down and beg for God's mercy. Beg for God's mercy, plead with God for God's forgiveness, turn to him, not looking at his own righteousness, but only relying on the righteousness of God. There was nothing good about him. Nothing good about us. We have no hope as well. Our only hope rests in the fact of the Lord Jesus Christ loves everybody. Right? He loves everybody. He doesn't take salvation from us. Everlasting life means everlasting life. There, back in verse 13, he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Hey, listen, if we're going to pray effective prayers, if we're going to have an effectual prayer life, as we've learned, there's some things we got to do. Right? There's some things we got to do. There's a walk we got to have. We got to be walking with the Lord. We got to be righteous, free of sin. If we're going to be praying effective prayers, we're going to have to learn about humility. We all struggle with humility. It's that pride thing in this flesh. Humility. Humility. Right? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall what? Humble themselves. Remember, we're talking about the Christians. First thing he tells us to do there is humble ourselves. We got to humble ourselves because there is no righteousness within. We got to humble ourselves, his righteousness, before a holy, righteous God. Humble ourselves, seek in his face in prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Hey, as we get ready to go today, just remember, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Let's pray.